Hello, my name is Jeff Parrish. I'm the senior pastor here at Indian Rocks. And I just want to say thank you to you for tuning in today through our live streaming through the internet for our services. And we are glad that you are watching. And I'm going to tell you about a couple of things that we have here at the church. We are very much a purpose-driven church. Why do we exist? The reason we exist is to make disciples, as the scriptures teach us. But we have a thing that's called C4, which lists out the different things that we want to do. C1 is connecting with God, which is part of what the reason that we do this live streaming is to give people the opportunity to find out what the scripture says and what it means to have a relationship with God. It's pretty incredible to think about the relationship, having a relationship with the God who created you. But the second purpose is a place for people to connect with each other. And I can't tell you how important that is, because it's more than just being educated in the scriptures. It's finding a place that you fit, that you connect. We have a lot of small groups and all kinds of different shapes and sizes that reach out to different ages and different stages of life. And I'd really encourage you to check into plugging into a small group, because you'll never feel apart until you find a place to fit in. So anyway, thank you for watching today, and I hope to see you soon. Hey guys, if you have a Bible, go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 2. As you're turning, have one more Sunday I just want to share with you. We always use this time of the year to talk about, you know, obviously year in giving, the church's finances. It's such a big time of the year. This will be the last time we'll share this with you, obviously, because the year ends pretty close. And so just remember a couple of things I need to tell you about. By law, if you want something to count on 2016, it has to be into the church, okay, by the 31st or postmarked by the 31st. Okay, anything after that will have to go 17, right? Well, I just like to tell everybody so it doesn't catch anybody unaware. Also, too, again, it's just it's a very important time of catch up in the life of a church, to where things have got to be readjusted after the first of the year if it doesn't. So, but I just wanted just to share with you all that. It's kind of the same way every year I've been here, but again, it's just something that I don't know if I ever get used to it. It makes me nervous every year. So anyway, but I just wanted to let you know, obviously, in life of the church, God's doing incredible things around us. It's really pretty amazing to watch. Especially people coming to know him and other things like that with kids and different things. We've got some special things after the first year. I'm looking forward to fill you in on there. So fantastic. So if you, again, Bible chapter 2 of Luke. Hey, if you don't have the church app, I would really encourage you to get it, because then you can just go straight down there on your phone and it's got all the notes and all the verses right there, right? And as I like to say, and you can check the scores without anybody knowing what you're doing. Right? So, of course, there's nothing going on now, so as far as games. But anyway, so today we've been in this series called Simply Christmas. And I've just decided that just this is the last week, is just to share with you just simple, the simple Christmas story and what it means. And what I mean by that is that so many times things and denominations and religious things down through the centuries now have added so much and clouded just the simple message of who Christ is and what he came to do. So that's what we've been talking about over the last few weeks. And today we're just going to focus on, on the baby in the manger, right? And what's the big deal, right? Today's title is Emmanuel, and I almost titled it, What's the Big Deal? Because that's what our world around us asks. Okay, what's the big deal, okay? Lots of babies have been born in humble circumstances. You know, lots of people who went on to do great things were born in humble circumstances. So what's the big deal here? And believe it or not, that is a fantastic question. And we're going to talk about it today. We're going to kind of pick up a little bit. I'll do a little bit of review from last week. Last week we did Mary's story, and I shared with you a little bit about who Christ is last week. So I want to pick back up there. But if you weren't here last week, you're fine. Okay, you're not gonna miss out on anything, because we'll review it just because and kind of redo a little bit of what we did last week, and then we'll get a good running start into what I want to share with you today as we kind of finish this this story, or if you will, this thought of simply Christmas.
So I'd like to talk to you, number one, if you want to just, again, just follow along with what I want to share with you. Number one is what I'm going to call the person, okay? The person. So let's take the opportunity to read Luke chapter 2, okay? Luke chapter 2, and we will begin in verse 1. We shared this, again, a little bit last week, but I want to do it again, and because, again, just the simple story. And so we're not going to cover what we covered last week, but we'll take a look at some of where it pertains to who Christ is. Let's take a look at it. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And that registration was for taxing purposes, obviously. And so he says, this was the first registration when Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." So it tells us who he is. But again, I mean, a manger is a feeding trough, just so you know. It was basically a barn for their time anyway. And so there's nothing romantic about this birth, as you see in a lot of the pictures and things. It just was a filthy barn. Probably was packed with animals because it was crowded in Bethlehem because of the registration. And so again, this baby that was born in obscurity, in humble surroundings, who he is what makes this incredible. That's why, what's the big deal? You have to understand who Jesus is for this to make sense and for reality, for the whole thing to make sense. I can't tell you, as we look at today, I just want you to see it and understand it. And the one thing, and I know I wear it out, and just to let you know, I'm going to keep wearing it out. Because I want you to know, if you're a believer here today, I want you to know, if someone asks, what's this Jesus thing all about? Really, all you have to remember, if you want to share with somebody the message of the Bible, is to remember who Jesus is. We're going to talk about that today. And then what he came to do. And those two things, that's all you need to remember, because that shares it. And obviously if you're here today and you're not sure about what it even means to be, in fact, you've always kind of thought it was this religious thing that people do, again, you'll see differently today. Because I want you to understand that so much has gotten in the way today, and what most people know about who Christ is today is what they've heard other people tell them, and so they don't really get the information of what the Scripture says about who Christ is. So I would, again, that's what we're going to do today. But the person of who he is the Christ. But that doesn't mean anything. That means a whole lot to a Jewish mindset, but that doesn't really mean. When we say Messiah or Christ, that doesn't mean anything to your regular Westerner, all right, like us, United from obviously America. Messiah, Christ, anointed one, chosen one, you know, a lot of different movies has been made to where there's always a chosen one who delivers everybody at the end, but that is the concept. Okay, and so many good, great stories today have the same concept of the Messiah, chosen one, Christ-type role. But I want you to see the picture. I want you to see and understand the magnitude, if you will, of what's being claimed here. That's what I want you to see. And then that will help it ring true to you, that if it is true, which I believe with all my heart it is, then it is incredible to think about. So it goes back to this. We're still reviewing just a little bit. But I want you to see and understand who Jesus is. And the scriptures claim to who he was. Now, in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, this will be the last kind of little bit of review of what we did last week. But Isaiah 7, 14 is what we call a prophecy. Okay? This prophecy in Isaiah, it was written 700 years before Christ was born. In fact, so many of them, that's how you know it to be remarkable. Because all of these things pointed to something. And there's no way you could get all of these things in line to make them all come true in this one called Jesus. It's staggering if you want to know. Okay? If you truly want to know, it's all there to find if you're willing to seek it. So anyway, but here's what Isaiah said. 700 plus, most believe 720 to 750 100 years before Christ was even born. It says this, therefore the Lord, as God himself, will give you a sign. Behold, it says here, a virgin will conceive. Now that just tells you right off that what that means is that there's going to be a girl who is going to become pregnant without sexual relation, without conception in a normal way, without a human father. That's what it's saying. So the Lord's going to give you a sign that something's coming that's pretty amazing. And here's what you can see. It's just that there's not going to be a human father. And then it goes on to say, and you'll call his name Emmanuel. I've heard people say, well, why don't they call him Emmanuel instead of Jesus? Emmanuel is a title more than it is a proper name. Because the word Emmanuel means God with us. So I want you to see the claim. I want you to see the thought here. It's incredible to understand, especially for us today, in a day where science has really moved along and showed us a whole lot of things. When you begin to see the DNA, when you begin to understand that a child born without a human father, think about what that means. It is the father that determines the sex of the child, correct? We talked about this last week, but I want to move a little bit further today. You know, the X's and the Y's, okay? If you don't understand, just Google X's and Y's. And you'll get hold. It's the father that determines the blood type. So when you think about this, and this is where we ended up last week, who is the baby in the manger? Who is he? Either he's the illegitimate son of Mary, or he is who he says he was. And so it really makes for something to step back and think about, because that's what this time of year is about. That's what the celebrations have been for all these centuries. It's celebrating the fact that the Creator became one of his own creation and stepped into time because of the need that you and I have. Okay, that becomes the understanding. Now hang with me and let's see. Isaiah had another picture. I just want you to see what the teaching of it is. Now take a look in Isaiah chapter 9, just a couple of chapters later, again, over 700 years, he explains more about this birth. And to me, it's if you've ever been a part of, you know, Handel's Messiah, or if you've ever heard Handel's Messiah, you know, the Hallelujah Chorus and all the rest, you know, he shall reign, all that stuff. I'm not even going to try. But there's part of it that includes this nine. Again, it's ancient, it's old stuff that's been set to music for so long ago, and it has been sung so many times that people haven't even stopped long enough to take a look at it. So in that same vein of virgin will conceive, bring forth the son, call him Emmanuel. A couple of chapters later, he says this. Okay? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now, nothing special about that. Children are born every day, and close to half of them are boys. So nothing big deal yet. And the government will be upon his shoulder. Okay, that's a little odd and a little strange to say. In fact, I don't have time to share with you today. It's more of a future look. Right, but look at this next one. And his name will be called. Okay, so a child's born, and the child is a boy, and his name's going to be called Wonderful Counselor. Okay, so there's one that's coming, Isaiah says, that he's going to be a wonderful counselor. Well, we need counselors, right? We need wonderful counselors. I mean, I'm all for it. But again, a little more narrow, a little more special, but still not a big deal. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and his name will be called, listen to this one, Mighty God. Okay, that gets weird. Let's be honest, that gets weird. If you're reading this before Jesus ever came, and you're looking at this, you're thinking Isaiah maybe has lost a screw. How can a child be the mighty God? And I want you to see the word mighty God there. It's not as big a deal to you, but to our Jewish friends, it was a very revered name for God. Almighty God or God Almighty. In fact, I think it's interesting when people take the Lord's name in vain today, right? They'll say God Almighty. Why? Because at a time, it was such a revered name, which is just what people do. And so, but this thought of Almighty God, that means all-powerful. Question, when's the last time you ran into a baby who was all-powerful? It's the most vulnerable of all the creation, a human infant. So the Almighty God is going to step into the form of a baby. Child is born, son is given. Okay, something strange about this one then. Okay? But it doesn't make sense until you look back in Isaiah 7:14. Signs given to you. A virgin will conceive, bring forth a son, you'll call his name God with us. So really? Is that what it means? Okay, and his name will be called, okay, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, his name will be called Mighty God, but his name will be called Everlasting Father. That's even stranger. Okay, for most of us, birth is the beginning. But for this child, he's the Everlasting Father. You go figure that one out. How does a child be called Father? Again, unless you understand 7:14, none of it makes sense. But see, this is why, again, people don't understand. Because these things aren't shared, you know? To make it politically correct, people always talk about Jesus being this nice guy and family values and taught people to love one another, love your enemies, all that stuff. And that's all that's talked about. The question is, guys, this is why C.S. Lewis said that either Jesus is who he says he was, or he's evil. You have to understand that. He's not just a good teacher. He either is who he says he was, or he can't do any of the things that he said. You're going to see that today. When you truly understand the simplicity. Now again, this is a hard concept to get your arms around. Because think about it. Almighty God, okay, Almighty God, so all-powerful, and yet how can the all-powerful one become a human infant? Everlasting Father, you ever thought about that one? Everlasting means eternal, obviously, same synonyms. So you think about eternal, how can the eternal one step into time? It's mind-boggling. You do understand, I've had people ask me the question, hey, how old is God? And again, it's the question's flawed because God created time, right? In the beginning, right? In the evening and the morning were the what? First day. So there was a first day. So time was a created thing. God created it. Therefore, it's not subject to it. Therefore, he is eternal. It's hard for us to understand because none of us have ever lived in any other arena but time. But the question is, how can the eternal one have a first day? That's fun to blow our minds every once in a while, right? But that becomes the great mystery that Books have been written on the mystery of the incarnation. And those are just fancy words for the great mystery of when God became flesh and dwelt among us. Interesting. I just want you to understand. The everlasting Father, therefore the ever-present one, becomes in one place. And it begins to boggle the imagination of who this child is. But remember this, guys. What he'd come to do, he had to be who he was in order to do it. I've had people ask me, and good, number one, what's the big deal about a baby born in a manger? The other one is, how in the world can one man die and pay for the punishment for sin of the whole world? Another great question. Don't take those questions as negative. But he couldn't have died for everyone's sin if he wasn't who he was. This coming up, Easter, we're going to do a Simply Easter too. Really looking forward to it. Just simple looks. It's been so dramatized. It's been so many things. But what actually happened there? Most people focus on the big physical grotesque beatings, and yes, those were true. But that's not the whole story. That's not even a little bit of the story when you look at the scope of it. Anyway, we'll get to that later. So you have in this picture of who Christ is, what he came to. And you have a wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father. And then here's the last one, Prince of Peace. Now, Prince of Peace, that's still, believe it or not, that's still the one politically correct thing that you'll see put up in department stores. Y'all know what I'm saying? You won't see any of the rest of these, but you'll see that phrase because peace is okay. You know, peace is politically correct. Everybody wants peace. And they don't even get that. Peace is not an absence of war. Peace is between us and who God is. He's brought peace between us. You'll see it in just a minute. So when you put all this together, who Jesus is it's a pretty remarkable thought when you think about who he is. Or in some of your case who don't believe, it's who he claimed to be. I just want you to see it. Because I'm convinced that, and I've told you this 1,000 times, I'm convinced that the Jesus most people reject is not even the Jesus of the Bible. It's that weird thing they see that everybody talks about, but never get behind the veil of what it really says. Interesting. And the question I always like to ask is, not do you know, but do you want to know? If you're not interested, then fine. But if you do want to know, at least know what it is. That's kind of what this series and then the one we do at Easter time is going to be, okay? It goes on to say, of the increase of his government, there will be no end to it. And then futuristic things, which I would love to talk about because they're pretty cool. And it talks about that there will be no end and on the throne of David and over his kingdom, basically to uphold justice. By the way, David's kingdom ended, but it does say here that David's kingdom would have no end. But if any of you know Jewish history, it ended. They were defeated, absolutely defeated by the Babylonians. So we're not talking about a physical. We're not talking about an earthly reign. We're talking about one that's different in the book of Revelation. There's just not enough time to talk about it. We'll have to talk about it another time. Number one was just the person who Jesus is. Number two is the need. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. Romans 3:23 tells us a pretty politically incorrect thing. Okay? And it's this thought, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, that says that every one of you, including yours truly, very much so, is a sinner. But see, we live in a culture to where it's not politically correct to say that someone is a sinner or that they have sinned. But I want you to understand is that while they may deny it, that doesn't mean it's not true. We are trying to deny all kinds of things, but they stare us in the face every day. You look at yourself every day. And I dare say, can you truly look in the mirror and say, I'm sinless? I doubt it. If you do, I don't want to meet you. I mean, you know what I'm saying? But we know this to be the truth. And yet, if you say anything's a sin today, then you will be termed as judgmental. But the thought here is not to be condemning. The thought here is to understand why Christ came. Because if there was no sin, then what Jesus did makes no sense. And really, it has no bearing on anything. So you have then this great picture. You know, I don't have time to tell you about it, but I'd love for you to read it later. Because while you may not agree with the concept of sin, its effect lives in you. Let me tell you what I mean by that. In John chapter 4, I can't read it. I'm not going to read it because I'll go way over time, all right? But it's the story of Jesus and the woman at the well. In fact, I did it recently. And Jesus happened upon a woman, and she was in Samaria, and they were having a conversation. And, you know, Jesus asked for a drink, and a whole conversation came to the point to where, you know, Jesus knew this woman's great need. And it was caused by something. So Jesus asked her to go get her husband, and she says, I don't have a husband. And Jesus said, yeah, you've had five husbands, and the guy you're living with is not even your husband. So yeah, but he wasn't trying to condemn her for her bad decisions. He was trying to get her in touch with how thirsty she is. Now guys, even if you don't agree with the need called sin, you understand its effects every day that you live. Why? Because you know what it means to be thirsty. And I'm not talking about physical thirst. You know what it means to work hard and achieve something, and then when you get it, it never satisfies. That you spend your whole life running after things that even if you get them, a lot of times you don't even get them, but even if you get them, you wonder why. Gosh, this is not it. That is the effect. Why? Because you'll never find anything in this world that if you could have it. That's why Jesus says, what does it profit you if you gain the whole world? Why? Because it's not going to satisfy you even if you have it all. That is the effect of it. You can deny it's there. You can say, well, don't talk to me about that. But it's the effect. That's the need. That's what Jesus talked to. That's why Jesus talked to this woman about living water. It was comparison to talk about what she really needed. And then Jesus said, if you drink this water, you won't be thirsty again. In other words, Jesus is saying, I have the reason I have come is to quench that deep thirst. It's an amazing thought. It's an incredible thing to think about. All right. Number three is the gift. The gift. But when the fullness had come, I'm sorry, Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. It says here, born under the law. I want you to understand that Jesus was born underneath the authority of the laws here on earth, right? Especially God's laws. And I want you to know that Jesus lived a sinless life. And I told you a little bit last week, not because he tried to live. He tried real hard to live sinless. It was just because of who he was. Think about it. He didn't say, okay, I can't do that. Well, I can't do that. No. He was able to do it because that's who he was, right? Therefore, he did what he did, to redeem those who were under the law. You know, and this is where it gets kind of tough, but if you truly understood, The justice. Most of us in here believe in justice for other people. Rarely do any of us believe in justice for ourselves. Right? Let me tell you what I mean. I've told you this before, but I just want you to hear it again, just because I want you to get what this means. If justice is a concept that God has instilled in us, which I believe he has, it's in most of us. Remember that under the system of justice, every transgression has a consequence, whether you get away with it now or not. Okay? Let me give you a for instance. I mean, every one of you are lawbreakers. You can laugh at that because you are. Let me tell you this. It's always what I said. Listen to this. What if you got a ticket? Somebody came to your door and said, for 10 years now, we've installed a device on your car. And it registers every time you go over the speed limit. And so we have one big ticket for you for 10 years of every time you went over the speed limit. How many of you would be bankrupt? You don't have to show a hands, right? I would say the greater majority of the people in the room would be bankrupt. So we're lawbreakers, right? So therefore, what does that picture look like? And Pastor, where are you going with this? I'll tell you. The picture here is that you have a God who put that in our hearts, and we know it to be the truth. And therefore, there's payment that has to be made for things that are wrong. That's what the gift is. That's what he talks about, redeem. That's what the word redeemed means. He goes on to talk about redeem those who are under law so that we might receive the adoption as sons. That is being part of who God is. Therefore, because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son out into our hearts where we can cry, Abba, Father, which is the picture of he becomes, the God who created us becomes not just our God, but also our Father, which is a pretty cool concept. When you understand who Christ is and what he came to do, which brings us to number four, which is the impact. The impact of the gift. This is where it'll ring true to you. Because this just really, really helps us. Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. It says, being strengthened with all power. Okay, a lot of times we read down through these verses, and being strengthened with all power. Okay, great. But have you ever stopped and asked yourself the question, power for what? Power for what? Think about it. Because of who Jesus is, what he came to do was that he came to pay the penalty for our sin. Right? Kind of like just the one little area of the traffic ticket, 10 years. You can't pay, but he can. So how can one person pay such an enormous debt, which is called the sins of the world? It's because of who he is. That's what it means. Can you put it back up there? Being strengthened with what? This is crowd participation time. Being strengthened with what? All power. Therefore, he has the strength to pay the debt because of who he is. So when you think about when he said in the garden, if this cup can pass from me, what cup was he talking about? He was talking about the cup of the payment. So you ask the question, which is, to me, just tremendous. How in the world can a guy on the cross for 6 hours pay for the sin of the whole world? I'll even make it harder than that, because in reality, at noon, it said that Jesus screamed out, my God, right? It all went dark, right? And he screamed out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Basically, he is beginning that punishment. So you're really talking about from about noon to 3. And then what did he scream out right before he died? It's finished. What's finished? The debt's been paid. That is what it is. Who Jesus is, what he came to do. And those two things make up the simple gospel. Right? If you ever wondered, these people are gospel music, gospel church, gospel. What is gospel? That's it. It's that simple. That's the Baptist version. Nope. It's rotten scriptures. We all have the same Bible. It's amazing how many different people say, that's this. No. It's just simple. Very simple. Therefore, what Christ did at the cross because of who he was, it helps you in three different areas. Number one, it helps you with your past in forgiveness. Guys, forgiveness is never free. I've told you that 1,000 times. Forgiveness is never free. I've always liked to share with you that if I owe you $100 and I come to you and I say, hey, listen, there's no way I'm going to be able to pay you back. And you say, hey, listen, don't worry about it. You're forgiven. What does that mean? That means I don't have to pay you back, but somebody did pay. Who paid? You paid. About $100 is not a big deal. What was the $100,000? Sorry, I can't pay. A lot harder to say, hey, I forgive you. We're going to talk a little bit about that after the first of the year. But here's what I want you to see. Forgiveness is something that every one of us needs. And it's something that Christ did at the cross. That's your past. Your present. He came to change your present. To give you something to live for. Have you ever asked people, hey, listen, what's the most important thing in your life? What is it in your life that's your purpose? And everything they say seems so trivial. Well, life to me is fishing. Life to me is football. Life to me is, and you look and say, really? Your whole life is watching 22 guys take a bag of air down the field. I mean, that's it for you. I mean, I like football. Y'all know I do. But that's purpose for you? You know, I'm here to tell you, you're going to have a hard time finding purpose. But when you understand the relationship that God, that Christ has made possible with the God who created you, all of a sudden purpose becomes a very real thing. Contentment, fulfillment, things that people long for. So past forgiveness, present purpose, future. Guys, there's something all of us long for. So that's an answer to death. The D word is something that nobody likes to talk about. It's okay to talk about it at Easter. Jeff, don't mention the D word on Christmas. But you have to understand it because that's the reason Christ came. Because that was our greatest need, an answer to death. So now you have it. Now you have the picture of just the simple message, the simple gospel, the simple impact, the simple who Christ is and what he came to do. You know, when I was at a church where I was previously, this is where I'll close. When I was at a church where I was previously, I had a guy come to me. He'd been visiting our church for several weeks, but he would pop in. He had this amazing car. And when it pulled up, it was one of those where all the teenage guys would go out and look at it when he'd gone in, you know? I'm not gonna tell you what it was. But anyway, he was this guy in his mid-30s, early 30s. He had a great job. He was very wealthy. And he started coming. He stood at the back. I left him alone for a while, and then he met me after a service a couple months later, and he said, you know, Pastor, he says, I don't know if I agree with everything you're saying, but he said, I will tell you this. I do know that there's more to this life than what I'm experiencing right now. And to me, that was the heart cry of most everyone. I mean, this guy was... I mean, according to our world, he had it all. He was a good-looking guy, early 30s, great car, great job, wealthy, could have, do anything he wants to. And everybody in here would think, man, if I had that, I would be happy. I'd be content. I'm here to tell you, you wouldn't. I've been around too many people, you wouldn't. And so, interesting. So he eventually kept coming, and it was interesting to watch how God changed his life. But that was the heart cry that I have never forgotten. And that's the heart cry that everybody really has. And it's that cry that was the reason Jesus came, who he was, what he came to do. So if there's never been a time in your life you put your faith and trust in him, guys, listen to me. I promise you I'm not talking about Baptist and Methodist, Catholic. That's why I tried to just to stay real close to what the scriptures teach, just share with you verses, and because they're very simple. I found that the message of the gospel is very simple. Why? Because God wants the common people, everybody, to hear it and to be able to understand it. Even children get this if it's explained simple enough. That's why I'm doing a Simply Christmas series, just simply because I want you to see it and at least know what it is. So if there's never been that time, I want you to know the scripture teaches us that there's only one way to get that gift into your life, and that's receive it by faith. You can't earn it or deserve it, right? And by the way, let me tell you this. That's why it's interesting. I want you to think about this. Just let this thought go in your mind. How in the world could anybody teach today that what Jesus did for you is not enough? You've still got to do this, 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 and this. How in the world can you add anything to such love that God gave to you and who Christ is and what he came to do? You can't do anything. He's done it all. So I don't have a list of things that for you to not to do and to do. All I've got is a gift. It's a message. If you truly understand it, it's remarkable. It almost seems too good to be true, but it is good and it is true. So you go wherever you want to with it. But when you think about it, that's remarkable to me. So the only way to receive it in your life is by faith. So as we close, If there's never been that time, then basically it's just you can't earn it or deserve it. You can't join a church. You can't join a denomination. You can't go through catechism class. None of those things does it. It's all about who Christ is and what he came to do. And the scriptures in Ephesians says, for by grace are you saved through faith. By grace, through faith. Grace is who Christ is, what he came to do. Faith is me putting my faith and trust in who Christ is and what he came to do. It's just simply that. A lot of people have used prayer, saying, God, I understand who I am. I understand why Christ came. I understand who he is, what he came to do. Lord, that's where I put my faith. It's that simple. Now, it does change you. I can tell you that for sure. It does change your life once you do. It's a desire. It turns into a desire to follow him, but it's an incredible thing to think about. But that is, okay, simply Christmas, all right? Good deal. Let's all stand. We'll have a closing word of prayer. Come on up, Anthony. Hey, guys, if you want to take something with you today, first of all, if you'd like to know what it means to put your faith and trust in him, although that's what the topic is today, there'll be some pastors up here afterwards who'd love to talk to you. Also, if you want to take something home, I don't want to talk to anybody, Jeff. I'd like to take something home with me. We have these for while they last, right, Anthony? We're kind of transitioning to another one, but while they last, there's a CD in them, and we're actually working on doing one where you can just download it on your phone here in the service. But anyway, it has a CD of a message I did, just shared with you more of what I talk about today. You can grab one of these on your way out, no cost, just grab one. But God bless you guys, and want to remind you, Christmas Eve, all right? Looking forward to spending Christmas Eve. Those of you that are in town, if you're going out of town for Christmas, let me just wish you a Merry Christmas, and be safe as you travel. But God bless, when you really, truly understand this time of the year, it is what makes the celebration a celebration. When you truly understand just how awesome and what this represents. All right, God bless. Y'all have a great day. All right, Anthony, why don't you close us?
Thanks, Pastor.